It's time to head into the woods, the maple sugar bush of the Superior Highlands. I was last here in November, before the hunting season, and I was pretty noisy as I crunched through deep fallen leaves. This maple syrup operation is a maze of small tubing and irrigation lines, all running downhill to end in large galvanized tanks. I was looking for downed trees and branches covering these conduits for maple sap. This debris can trap tons of snow, requiring hours of laborious digging out come February and March. Well, it's time to do just that, and I've been strapping on snowshoes along the gravel road and heading up the hill with a snow shovel over my shoulder. We've had a lot of snow this winter, and amorphous shapes of equipment covered in white need to be uncovered. Last May, everything that could hold snow was flipped over and smaller items were stowed away, otherwise they would not be found come the deep snows. A porcupine has again made its winter home in the storage shed, gnawing on the plywood walls, and pine marten tracks crisscross the trail. We set a path up and down every main line and eventually to every tree that is tapped, over 2,000 of them. Plus, we hang bags on several hundred trees where the hilltop flattens. It's hard work this year, as I find myself with every step sinking up to my knees, and I've taken a few falls. The snow is up to my waist, and if not for the shovel to help prop me up, I'd have a hard time getting back on my feet. More snow will fall on these trails, but at least it won't be this hard going again. The gentle slopes have gravity working in our favor, at least for the maple sap, but not for our endless trudging up these hills. I pause to listen to the quiet of the forest, and besides the chattering birds, hear only a distant iron ore train, a sound I find comforting. It's peaceful up here where the sugar maples, basswood, some white pines, and cedars are the largest for miles around. I just read about recent research showing that older trees grow faster and store more carbon than younger trees, contrary to what we usually hear about our forests. If not for the maple syrup operation, this county leased land, with its diverse forest, would most likely have been logged and turned into another aspen thicket. Many days are spent digging out and exposing the lines, making repairs, hauling equipment on sleds, and getting everything ready for that day when the boss says it's time to tap the trees. All this work is done on snowshoes. Tapping used to come along in late March or early April, and I've read that in New England over the generations, this date was set in stone, marked in ink on the calendar. Now with our changing climate, sap could run anywhere from January to May, and one year can be radically different from the next. A day with temperatures in the 40s can cause a lot of anxiety. We try to get things ready as quickly as possible, but there are a lot of variables. One year, the red squirrel damage was the worst ever seen, and a repair of the tubing done one day was chewed through the next. There seemed to be no reason for it other than spiteful squirrels. Another time, it seemed moose would walk through the lines every night. The moose are now gone, but the squirrels remain, and it seems they're not that bad this year. Thank you, Pine Martens. When tapping day arrives, two teams of two people systematically follow the lines and tubing. One person drills a shallow hole in a maple, and the second person follows with a hammer to lightly tap in the tap. It's a tap dance on snowshoes, usually lasting a couple of days. With this accomplished, it's time to turn on the vacuum system and again follow these lines, listening for air escaping from the hundreds of connections. I find this great fun, roaming the otherwise quiet woods, listening for hissing and popping leaks, and figuring out ways to repair and silence them. Being in these woods in the spring and helping to produce something so rewarding is a treat. It's a nexus between winter and spring, and the combination of sunny spring-like days and wintry, chilly nights produces the most sap. The group of people I've worked with over the years are entertaining to be around, although most of the time is spent on your own, as if you were the only one in these woods. As the work becomes somewhat mechanical, there's plenty of time to meditate and feel a spiritual connection with this old forest. A call from a barred owl or raven gives us a reason to look up from our work to scan the sky and treetops. Here, I'll see a seldom-seen brown creeper, pileated woodpeckers, maybe the first yellow-rumped warbler of the season. As they melt and open, the ponds tucked into the deep woods will be rest stops for wood ducks. They stop us in our tracks as they explode from the ponds. Wood frogs will begin calling about this time, followed by chorus frogs and peepers. The sunny spring days release the long dormant organic smells of the woods, along with a humid aroma of sublimating snow. It's a wonderful place to witness the seasonal transition with all your senses. When the tanks are full of sap, it's siphoned downhill to another tank on a pickup truck and hauled up the road to the evaporator in the sugar house. Most maple syrup operations today use gas to boil down the sap, but this is still an old-fashioned, wood-fired operation. It may be my imagination, but I think you can taste it in the syrup, a hint of wood smoke instead of propane. On a clear, cold night, the wood smoke and steam rise with a whirl from the evaporator flue and vaporize into a starry sky. Sometimes the boss is up all night, stoking the fire, turning magical knobs and levers like he's an alchemist, turning the vaguely sweet sap into syrup ambrosia gold. We are reminded of these days every time we pour the syrup on our pancakes, which are, after all, only a vehicle to consume the sweet heavenly liquid.